Blog Talk Radio.
Rocky week here, huh? Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. First of all, how have you been, Butch?
Doing good. Thank you, and yourself?
I've been well. I've been well. Good to hear that. Ty won't be joining us. He has a previous engagement that he has to take care of. So.
Okay. Alrighty. Well, we'll be joined at 6:15 by the inimitable and always lovable Dr. Chris, and then at 6:30, we have a guy coming up to your area, Mr. Edner Cherry, and he's going to be fighting there at the new arena in South Philly, the 2600 Arena, on next Saturday.
Yeah.
So.
He's fighting Jerry Belmonte.
Right.
Yeah, and a lot of sports writers are actually picking Edner to look good.
Really? That's good.
Yeah.
I don't know. Did you happen to see this week they had they did an article on him in Fight News? And I'll tell you what, I've known Edner, I bet you I've known him 10 years now, and I have never seen this guy as cut as he is or as ready as he is.
Edna talking. He sounds really, really hungry. Mm-hmm. Really hungry, and, you know, he sounds happy that he's with Dan Birmingham. And
right.
He seems to have that fire. Edna's an older guy, but, I mean, he's still relatively fresh.
Right.
And, you know, he has that desire and hunger. So.
Right. And, you know, he's under the tutelage of oh, my God, I'm having a brain fart here. Besides Dan, who's the guy that we talked about last week from Dan's stable? Keith Thurman. Keith has really done a lot to change his style of fighting. He used to be the guy that would go in there and just try to destroy anybody. And now he's waiting, and he's taking his game to the finer part of the arena and working it out.
Yeah, and Edna was telling us before when we were talking to him that Keith helped him out a lot, and he's like a brother in training.
Yeah, so. Yeah. I'll tell you what, the one thing I like about Dan, and I go up to his gym a lot, is that he has a group of guys in there that really are a team. It's almost like a team Birmingham. They help each other out. They're always in there working with each other. They spar with each other. They give hints to each other. And like last night, there was one of their guys, a no name, was fighting at the Olive Cart Pavilion, and Dan was in his corner, but every one of his guys were right over there by them. I had a chance to see that, and really makes you feel good that when you have your whole team behind you.
Yeah, absolutely. It's good to see them all dedicated to, I guess you could say right now, Team Birmingham.
Yeah. So, well, it looks like Mr. Pasoli was saying that Mr. Fonfara is going to really have to prove himself to get any kind of Showtime out of or any time any help out of Showtime. I'm having trouble with my words here tonight. I guess Pasoli's number five WBC ranked, and and Fonfara is going to take over from some of Al Heyman's guys. Do you have anything on that one?
No, I don't, but I actually have some very big news in the world of boxing. One, Dan Goosen has actually passed away.
Yeah.
He succumbed to cancer after a battle with it. And, you know, we just want to pray for his family and wish them the best moving forward.
Yeah, and we also want to send our best wishes and thoughts to the family of a young man from Philadelphia. State Trooper Dan Kenda lost his life this week in an accidental shooting at the Montgomery County Range. Dan was on the job about 13 months, and just a terrific guy from all I've read and heard about. And to his family, we send our best wishes and our best thoughts. But, we got some nice fights coming up next week up there.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Now, I know Stevie Cunningham is Edna Cherry's on the undercard of the Stevie Cunningham fight.
Yes.
And I have to get myself a little familiarized with the guy Stevie's fighting, but at this moment, Stevie's fighting heavyweight. And so that can always be interesting.
Yeah.
Because Stevie has the skill to be in with anyone. But moving up from cruiserweight, Stevie, he's a little chinny at heavyweight. And he gets guys who could hit pretty good, too. But that's what you get in heavyweight. You're going to get those guys who can hit hard.
Right.
So Stevie, he's still a little chinny at heavyweight, but he seems to be able to rebound off of his chinniness. He's never out. I mean, he gets a little loopy at times, but he's never out of it. And he seems to recover well and you know, take control of fights.
Uh-huh. Yeah, Stevie's another one that's been a favorite of ours. We've had him on the show a number of times. Like Edner, a very humble guy, very nice guy, family guy. You know, there's not a whole lot you can say other than that. And we wish him the very best in moving up. But that'll be next Saturday night. And I had made arrangements with my good friend Mr. Peltz that if you and Ty can get up there, there'll be passes for you.
All right, we'll sure make it.
Yeah, it's one there down in South Philly, the 2300 Swanson Street.
All
so,
right.
I'll send you guys the information on it later on in the week. But, what do you think about? Let's see, we got Daenerys coming up. Also, is that tonight or is that next week? I think it's next week.
I know it's next week. I think it's next week. I know it's not tonight.
Yeah, it is. It is next week.
But he fights Nick Walters.
Yes.
Yeah. And Nick Walters can crack.
Yeah.
That guy can crack. I mean, and he's not shy about, you know, putting it out there to crack.
Right.
So I mean, I think this fight depends a lot on Nonito's mind state. He's the more experienced guy. Nolito's been in with better competition. Walters, I would bank that he'll be the heavier guy.
Mm-hmm.
And Nolito, he's better skilled than Walters.
Uh-huh.
But ever since his being taken apart by Guillermo Rigondeaux, Nolito seemed a little, I don't want to say shy, but he seemed a little reserved. Seems to think a little more on his feet instead of his reactions, and he's getting caught like that. Victor Chinian in their second fight was outboxing Donaire until Donaire knocked him out, hit him with some power and knocked Victor Chinian out.
Right.
Also, he was fighting Sveka. I forgot. Forgive me for not remembering his first name, but I remember his name was Sveka. And Donaire, he knocked Sveka there early. But Sveka was getting up, applying pressure, getting to Donaire's body. And it seemed like Donaire got a little nervy. I don't want to say panicky. He didn't go that deep in the thing. But it seemed he got a little nervy, a little reserved with what he was doing. And that fight was stopped off of a cut of that Sveka had. And, you know, it was debated whether it was stopped early, but, Chinian got the win. Not Chinian, Donaire got the win.
Right.
Against Nick Walters, I don't think he can sit and think on his feet. I mean, this guy is going to be there trying to get Donaire out of there.
Right. So, well, you know, out of his last fights, that last 11 fights, Walters knocked the 10 of them out. So he's that in itself would scare the hell out of me.
I mean, you could talk about level of competition, but, I mean, that's a streak that pretty much says that you hit hard.
Right.
I mean, you could say, well, he knocked, 10 bums out. Well, you have to hit hard to knock 10 bums out. You're getting 10 different styles of bums. So, I mean, to get all of them out of there, you have to, you know, you have to have some measure of power.
Right. I'm gonna call Dr. Chris on the line here so we can keep going talking. But especially with Daener, I know he has his thoughts on Daener. When either one, he was high on him at one point, and then seen last week he didn't seem to be too high on him.
Hello.
Hey, Chris, how you doing?
All right, Frank.
Good. Good.
Let me turn this TV down.
Okay.
Go ahead. Okay.
Hey, we got you live on here. We're on with Zito and myself. Ty couldn't make it tonight.
Okay.
His previous engagement. But we were just talking about the Daener fight coming up next week. Walters versus Daener.
How's it going, Dr. Chris?
Pretty good, guys. I had a nice 3 days relaxing, ate some great food, played some lousy golf, and you know, what are you going to do? You know, we watched a lot of baseball, nothing else. Watched a lot of baseball.
Yeah.
Didn't see one fight.
Yeah.
They're not really running him. Not much on.
Huh?
Who's fighting tonight on TV? Anybody?
It's a Showtime card. It's not a high profile fighters are not really fighting.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. Next week we've got up in your area. We have Stevie Cunningham. Is fighting, and so is our friend who's coming on in a little bit. Edner Cherry is the undercard for it. What do they call him? I think Russell called him the co-card.
So, right.
But we were just talking about Danito Daener versus...
Daener, you know what? We haven't seen him. We haven't seen him. I mean, this is the first time he's fought since he lost the... Last time out, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, he's had two previous fights since he lost to Rigan Diaz, or two fights post-fights. He fought Victor Chinian again. And he ended up knocking Darchinian out, but Darchinian was outboxing him for a bit. It seemed like Daener was a little reserved, was throwing punches, mm-hmm. thinking on his feet a little too much instead of reacting. And mm-hmm. then he fought a guy named Becca, I think, maybe it's from South Africa. But Daener knocked him down for a hard shot early. And Becca got up, started applying pressure. Seemed like he caught Daener in that reserve role again, you know, thinking.
Mm-hmm.
That fight was stopped on a bad cut that Becca had. So Daener ended up winning the round. It ended up, and it went four rounds. It looked like Daener was trying to make it to the fourth. Because I think Svecka was cutting a second or third. But it looked almost like mm-hmm. Daener was trying to make it to the fourth round. So, and then they stopped it, you know, exactly then, after the fourth round.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. But he fights a guy named Nick Walters. I don't know if you've seen or heard of Nick Walters. But Nick Walters can cry. He can really, really hit.
Hmm. I'll be honest with you, I never heard of him.
Yeah.
Never heard of him.
He's out of his last.
Is he from
an,
he's,
yeah, out
is
of
he
his
from
last
this
last
country?
He knocked out. No, he's Jamaican.
Okay.
Yeah, but out of his last 10, 11
That's
fights,
why I never heard of
guys
him.
Out. Yeah.
What was the state of competition? Was it any good? Was it outside Jamaica or in?
No, it was outside Jamaica. It was in the United States.
Oh, okay.
So, okay. Yeah.
Anymore, if somebody's 10-0, you don't know if they, you know, whether they know how to fight or not. You know.
Right.
They got
right.
the with a promoter, you know, so forth. You see it every day.
Yep. Yeah. The other
well, that'd be interesting.
The other guy I want to ask you about Z is. Chad Dawson coming back. He wants to be bad Chad Dawson again. What do you think about that?
It always depends
on who he's fighting.
Yeah.
I'll put it that way.
Yeah.
It always depends on who he's fighting. I mean, he's an entertaining guy no matter how it goes. because he, Chad is talented. He's
yep.
majorly talented, but at times he just seems he can't put a whole fight together, and he's easily frustrated.
Yeah, I can't knock the guy for trying to make a living and make some money, but as far as excitement goes, he's not exciting, not an exciting fighter anymore to me. You know, there's no end in sight for him. I mean, what do you want to do? He's had a million shots. There's no way he hangs in there with the Russian. There's no way. So I don't know. Well, maybe he just wants to make a living. He's fighting and whatnot. But I just don't. He's not, to me. He's not a draw, because you never know who's going to show up.
Right.
And yeah, his last several fights haven't been that good, really. What can you say? You know, poor guy is trying to make a living. Maybe that's it. But you know, I wouldn't go to fights to see him. Let's put it that way. Hell, maybe I'm being a pain in the neck, but I mean, you know, what can you say? There's so many good things I'd like to see, shows I'd like to see that, you know. I don't think he can make it back to the top again. That's what I'm trying to say. I don't think maybe it's time to hang it up, you know.
Right.
Well, it depends on what route he wants to take, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
I think what really, really hurt him is that they knocked out in the first round by Adonis Stevens.
Dawson, he's
been trying to enjoy having the title. Who's he fighting soon? Is he fighting soon?
I think he's got one.
Is he fighting anybody?
He's not Dawson.
I'm talking the other guy. Adonis Stevens.
Adonis,
is he fighting soon?
I don't know. I know that Bernard Hopkins was, they were negotiating to try to fight with him at first. And then I'm not sure what happened, but he ended up signing to fight Kovalev.
Whatever happened to Provodnikov? What happened? I mean, he didn't look bad losing that fight to Algeria. Is he got anything coming up? He's always an exciting fighter. Do you hear anything about him?
I know he's a Bob Arum fighter. So Bob Arum has to he has the puzzle of matching him up against one of his lightweights, or even lightweight junior welterweights or welterweights. He has the option to do that, but I mean, really, I don't think Bob Arum's that sick at that division.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a poor guy. You know, no matter what, win or lose, he gives everything he's got, and he's a great fighter. I mean, it's a great fight. That Algeria fight had a lot of it. It was exciting. You know, that was some fight from both sides, you know. He was complacent, thinking he was going to knock him out at some time during the 12 rounds and wasn't thinking about a decision. I think he'll have a different perspective next time fighting the guy. He'd apply more pressure and probably be more busy than he was the last fight. So, you know, if they fight again.
Well, I think that's Algeria. One thing on Provodnikov. Provodnikov, he can't put that type of pressure on for the whole fight. I mean, you can see him, he takes several breaks. I think he would have beaten him badly had he not taken several breaks. Tim Bradley actually had to outwork Provodnikov, and so did Algeria. Like, he was fighting Algeria, and it's like chasing around a fan that's slapping you on the face. That's basically how the fight went.
Yeah, it was pretty shocking that the condition Algeria was in. Ooh,
yeah.
To fight that long, you know, and stay out of range and with the bad eye and everything. I mean, that was some fight on his part. And like you say, he doesn't fight 3 minutes out every round, that's for sure. He doesn't apply pressure all 12 rounds if he's not winning. It doesn't seem like he looks for that big shot and coasts and waits for it, you know? I don't know. So, I'd like to see him fight soon. I mean, I there's not much going on. Seems like football and college football and all this is taking over, and baseball and boxing's kind of sitting back for a while until everything clears up. There's so much sports on TV. I mean, that seems like nobody wants to compete, you know, with a sport, with the NFL and everything else that's going on. We'll have baseball. You got 5 games and 7 games. I mean, it's going to be around for a while. This thing's an awful lot of entertainment on television now. Wow.
Sure.
An awful lot of entertainment on TV. And I think boxing's suffering as a result. You know,
yeah.
Although the only good, you know, reason why it does come on late. So, you know, maybe all that other stuff is gone. But the hell, they're bringing baseball on at 9:30 from the West Coast, and they're doing this and doing that. Football games coming from the West Coast. That Oregon game, we were down there, that came on. That was late.
Right.
I mean, you're looking at 2 o'clock in the morning if you want to stay up that long.
Sure.
And he got beat anyway.
Chris,
so, what do you think the Eagles are going to do this week?
I think they've got their hands full. They definitely have their hands full. I'm not sure they're going to be able
that
to survive
line,
this one. Yeah.
When they don't have a running game, they're a different team.
Sure.
They're a different team.
Yep.
And, you know, and on the offensive
line,
I mean that's just pretty hard. McCoy can't run. They know it, so they're going after Fultz. He's taking a hell of a beating.
Yep.
So,
hey, Chris, earlier we were talking about Stevie Cunningham moving up in weight. And I know your thoughts on it. You had told us before, but you want to talk to us about that, about how a fighter moving from cruiserweight to heavyweight and how they do it?
I mean, today the big heavyweights are so big. But, I mean, the discrepancy in weights, you know, you got a guy fighting at 200 and, you know, the next guy who fights 250. And he's big, and it's not 250 of yeah, that's a huge jump. It's a huge jump. And Cunningham seems to be defying, age and size and everything. I mean, that fight he had with that undefeated fighter from Delaware was a tremendous fight.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
in fact, that's a friend of Zito's.
Mm-hmm.
Mansoor. You're talking about Mansoor.
Yeah.
Amir Mansoor, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, tremendous fight, and like I say, I thought after he lost to that Polish guy, I thought he was, you know, on his way out, but damn, he come back, man, you know, and he surprised everybody. So, yeah, more power to the guy I don't think he can become champion. He can make a good living, but I don't think he can't beat the top notch guys. They're too big for him. That's how I feel about it. I mean, there's too much size there.
Sorry about that, guys.
Please leave your message for 8639.
Sorry about that.
Oh, yeah, I wanted to tell you guys also that Jesse Vargas has a sort of step-up fight.
Oh.
He's fighting Antonio DeMarco, who's moving up to 140 to fight Jesse Vargas. And I say it's a sort of step-up fight because DeMarco, he's not the fastest guy at any weight. He's a good boxer. He applies pressure, steady pressure, and he's more inclined to break you down. So where Jesse Vargas, he's bigger than DeMarco. He's faster than DeMarco. But if Jesse doesn't do something to DeMarco early, he may be in for a long night.
Yeah. I was just trying to get a hold of Edner I guess he's busy right now, so we'll try him a little later on. But hey, Z, have you know anything about this kid, Louis Abrego? Abrego?
Louis Abrego.
Yeah, he's going to be the undercard for Hopkins.
No, but Louis Abreu, if I'm correct, that's the he's a welterweight,
right?
And yeah, okay, that should be him. Abreu has one loss, and that was to Timothy Bradley in Timothy Bradley's first fight, moving up to welterweight, and it was a very close contested fight. So it was very close and contested. Abreu, he can hit hard. He's a pretty crafty boxer. Not he doesn't rely on speed or. Really, slickness as far as defensively. But he's a guy that you don't, you cannot take lightly.
Right.
You cannot take lightly whatsoever.
Hey, Chris, what do you think between Bernard Hopkins and Kovalev? Where do you think that's going to go? Ooh. Hello? Let's see what happened here. We didn't get him. Chris? Chris? I'm going to have to call him back, I guess. Let me call him back.
Yeah. That should be interesting.
Yeah.
That should be very, I mean, and really, you know what Hopkins brings to the table.
Right.
But it's just a matter of can Kovalev get to him in the right way?
Right.
Now, we've seen Kovalev, I mean, he has a pretty good arsenal.
Mm-hmm.
He can hit you hard with either hand, but I mean he's also a guy who he bounces around on his feet quite a bit, but I mean he needs to be planted and he needs you in front of him to do his damage. And I remember he was fighting Nathan Cleverley, as I mentioned last week, and Cleverley was outboxing him. Cleverley was moving his feet wisely. Basically staying on the outside, and Kovalev, not staying directly in front of Kovalev.
Mm-hmm.
Kovalev had trouble chasing Cleverley, but Cleverley is not—he's not a smooth boxer, and at times Cleverley gets caught in the pocket trying to exchange, and he got caught, and then you think that it was a matter of time.
Mm-hmm.
Kovalev stepped up his action to get to Cleverley, but he's not the Cleverley's not the boxer Bernard is.
Mm-hmm. You know what we're doing here is trying to get Dr. Chris back on the air here somehow. We got knocked off.
Hello.
Hey, there you go.
Something happened.
Yeah. Sorry about that. Yeah, we were just talking about your friend Bernard. And his fight coming up with Kovalev.
Now that's going to be an interesting watch and see how it turns out.
Mm.
We'll see if man can defy age again. He's not taking an easy opponent. I don't think so.
No.
I don't know I don't know what Bernard's thinking, but that's not an easy opponent.
No.
And I just can't see Bernard. I don't think he has the strength or the stamina anymore, to whip a guy like that. How long can he get by with outsmarting guys, fighting in here, stealing rounds, jumping in with that right hand? He doesn't throw combinations anymore. I mean, it's amazing that he's going this long. Just amazing. So. But I really can't wait to see the fight, to be honest with you. I really can't wait to see it. So, but I as I said before, I think Bernard's in for more than he realizes. I don't know what he sees in this Russian's, if he sees a chink in his armor somewhere, that there's a chance he could beat this guy. I don't know.
Uh-huh.
I mean, this guy's rough and tough.
Well, he's
so,
a hard opponent.
What do you guys think?
Kovalev is a hard opponent, but he's nothing that Bernard hasn't seen before and actually has outboxed before. People said the same thing about Kelly Pavlik and Bernard. And Kelly Pavlik's a bit more rudimentary than Kovalev, but at the same time, Kovalev can be outboxed.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Now, can Bernard keep it up for 12 rounds without getting hit with maybe those shots that could put him down? That remains to be seen. But Bernard's not a guy that I can anticipate getting knocked out. And with that being said, I can't see Kovalev outboxing Bernard to a decision. Kovalev's not fast. Like a guy like the aforementioned Chad Dawson has quick hands, and he's a bit strong to where Bernard can't just go muscle him up inside and do what he wants with him, grab him. And Chad's a little stronger to where Bernard can get in and out on Kovalev, I think, at will. I just think he just has to watch out for Kovalev's straight right and a left hook kind of. That's two things that, I mean, the guy can hit with either hand. But I think Bernard, he's capable.
You think he's got enough firepower to knock out a guy with Kovalev's strength and youth? You think he's got the firepower left?
I don't think Bernard's even trying to knock Kovalev out. I think he's good. Bernard, he's in good shape. He's in very good shape. And I think he knows that he's not going in there to knock Kovalev out. He's going in there to outclass him, to try to school him a bit. Now, he has some things to worry about.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, you talk about
how many times can Bernard go to the well? I saw him fight an exhibition up in Philly. And he was boxing an amateur, just putting on a little show. And I thought, geez, the way he looked that night, I thought, God, he's done. He's done. And then he makes a liar out of me, you know. And then I've said this four times now. Bernard's done. And then he keeps coming back. So how many times can he do this?
Yeah.
I mean, the man is not getting any younger. I mean, I don't know. I don't know. I think, in my honest opinion, that he's going to regret making this fight.
Yeah.
I think so. That's how I feel about it. I don't think he can outsmart a lot of guys. He's got a lot of experience. He can jump in, jump out, steal around. I mean, he's probably the most clever fighter in the ring today to get the most out of what he's got. I mean, he certainly uses all of his talent to win against these young, strong, light heavyweights. But how long can he do it? This is what is the puzzling part of it. And can he do it again? I mean, more power to him. I like to see old guys succeed. I'm one of them. <You know?
laughs> Hey, guys, we're joined tonight by a guy who's coming up there to Philadelphia to make history himself. Edner, how are you tonight? Edner Cherry.
I'm doing pretty good, man. You know, just keep my head up. You know, just staying focused.
Yep. And I was saying to the guys earlier that that picture in Fight News, I've never seen, in all the years I've known you, I've never seen you this cut or this ready for a fight. I mean, you really look good.
Yeah, sir. Thank you very much. Hard work, dedication, you know. I don't let myself get out of shape.
Right. And Z was saying that all the writers seem to think that you've got you're bringing a great deal into Philadelphia.
Oh yeah, definitely, man. Yeah, I'm saying definitely.
Yeah. And Zito is going to call you for that interview, right, Zito?
Absolutely. Matter of fact, absolutely.
Maybe when he's up there, you guys can sit down for a cup of coffee. He's coming up on the. You're going up on the 17th, right? Or
16th. Yeah.
I'll get the. Where he's going to stay, and I'll give you his cell phone number. You can give him a call.
Okay.
So, Edgar, tell us how are you preparing for this fight that you're going into?
You know what, man? I'm preparing well for this fight, and in shape, hard work, running, sparring, and with Dan in my corner, teaching me and working with Keith and working with the other fighters in the gym. And, you know, I'm prepared in every direction, you know, getting ready, you know, getting prepared for this fight. Anything that Jerry Montes come with, I will be prepared. You know what I'm saying? You know, for this camp, I've been sparring with bigger guys. And with bigger guys, because when I spar with little smaller guys, it's like I'm, you know what I'm saying, I'm too strong and this and that, but I'm sparring with bigger guys, so, you know, I could kind of hold myself with them, you know what I'm saying? You know, and, with Dan right there and, you know, giving me direction, and, you know, we should do well October 18th.
Good, good.
Now, Edmund, you're fighting Jerry Belmonte.
Yeah.
Can you tell us anything that you see in his style? We understand that it takes the same things to break anybody down. But can you tell me any specifics as far as that you see with Jerry Belmonte?
Being honest, I haven't seen no tapes on Jerry Belmonte. I haven't even seen anything of him, but I've been hearing, you know. But, you know, I'm a guy that don't like watching fights, tapes, whatever, because, you know, like it, like when I do that is like I'm looking for something, you know, okay, I'm looking for this mistake, then he end up, you know, changing it, whatever. But, Jerry Belmonte, he's a great fighter, you know what I'm saying? I'm not taking anything away from him, and, you know, but October 18th, you know, he better come prepared. And I don't really know anything about him, but I know, like, the only thing I know, he fought Omar Figueroa. I mean, you know how you hear, like, this fighter fight this person, like, the only person they could tell me, like, oh, he fought Omar Figueroa. Who else he fought Omar Figueroa? I mean, God, though, who else? You know what I'm saying? You know, when you have a fighter, man, like, you want to hear, man, he fought this great person, he fought this great man. The only thing I was like, he fought Jerry Belmonte. I mean, he fought Omar. Oh my! I don't hear nothing else. No other name. No other great fighters. Like, okay, all right, okay. You know, but you know what I'm saying? I'm not taking away nothing from him, man. You know what I'm saying? I'm just ready. We're just ready to duke it down, man.
Great. Chris, you had a question about. I know Edner does see Keith on a regular basis. You had a question last week about Keith.
Yeah. What's Keith up to? How's he feeling?
He's feeling pretty good, man. You know, he's you know, hanging in there, strong, training. You know, getting ready for this November 15th bout, I think it is. But he's in the gym. You know, just in there working. You know.
Mhm. And he has a fight November 15th?
I think so, yeah. I think that's what they're shooting for, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm. Who's he fighting?
I don't even know. I don't think they have a person plan yet, but they only got a date, so.
Is his shoulder healed up from the...
Yeah,
from the,
it looks like his shoulder's doing pretty well. Keith, though, he's like, you know, he's one of the fighters that don't complain, and, you know, but, you know, he worked, and, you know, if he had the sport, he would sport, but he don't complain. You know what I'm saying? That's a real fighter, you know what I'm saying? Until it gets worse, and, you know, that means, hey, my shoulder, this and that. But after that, man, you know what I'm saying? Like, you won't even know if it's, like, you have a bad shoulder.
Mm-hmm. Where's the, now,
I got a question for you. How serious do you study an opponent? You said, you know, you saw your next opponent against Figueroa. He was a good fighter. What did you see in that fight that gave you a little confidence about this guy?
You know
what did you see?
You know, just like what I said, I haven't seen that fight. I haven't seen the fight at all. But, you know what I'm saying?
You didn't watch it?
Nah, I know, sir. You know what I'm saying? But I don't want to watch any tape of him because you know, when you are watching a fighter, then you're looking at this mistake. Okay, that's the mistake he does. Okay, we will capitalize on that. Then the night of the fight, and it's probably like they already fixed it in camp. Then like you're looking for the whole night, and it's not there. Then like you're frustrated, but you know, I just leave everything in Dan's hand, you know, the corner hand, and you know, when I come back to the corner, then you know, Dan Birmingham will give me direction because my trainer, he's on the outside, he sees everything. And when I come back, you know, he say, "Hey, Edna, this is what you need to do. Edna, this is what he's doing." And we will then like we will go off of that.
Mm-hmm. That's good. You got that. It's good. You know, you sound like you have so much confidence in your trainer. That's good. Half the guys, when they come back to the corner and sit down, they don't listen to their trainers. But if you got faith in a guy and you think he can help you, then you're probably right. You don't have to study a fight film over and over again, because he may change his style that night against you. So that makes sense. You know.
The trainer's job is to keep the fighter from as less harm as possible.
Yeah.
And sometimes, and that's offensive, defensive, however the fighter has to do it. The trainer's job is to see through that the fighter receives as less harm as possible.
Yeah. And you're right.
Hey, now,
Edna.
Go ahead.
Oh, I just wanted to ask, Edna, we know that you're dedicated at 130. Is this fight going to be at 130?
Nah, man. You know Jerry Belmonte, man. You know, he can't make one. You know what I'm saying? Like, when it's not a title, you know what I'm saying? Normally, I want to come in at 132. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But you know, they say he can't make 132. He want to fight at 133, then give a pound. So he's coming to one. So basically, the most he could come in then at the weigh-in is 134. You know what I'm saying? So you know that sometimes I look at that stuff. Like when a fighter say they can't make this weight with this weight, that kind of tell me something, man. Hey, man, you need to get on your game. You're not training hard. You're not really dedicated. And it just, you know, come on now. And you know, and me, I'm working hard. Then you know, I can make my weight. And now you tell me, hey, this guy can't make it. So I'm looking at that the Jerry Belmonte will be coming in as a lightweight. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
As a lightweight. Come on, you know what I'm saying? It's like, you know, just like what I tell them people, just like what I told them. I started my career at 135.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it ain't nothing, you know what I'm saying? And you know, especially with Jerry Belmonte, he don't have a power punch, he can't crack an egg, whatever. Then you know what I'm saying, he better come with it.
Ed, once you're successful here, we hope you'll come back on and talk about the fight, but who would you like to see after that?
Oh, you know what? I'm not like a big bragger, like a big talker, or whatever. But you know what I'm saying? It's like I want to leave everything in my, you know, the team. You know what I'm saying? Up to the team to make the right decision, the right person. You know, like some of us fighters get cocky. Hey, I want this, and they, you know, in the world they're not ready for this person, that person. But whoever my team get, I'll be ready, you know what I'm saying? So I leave everything in their hand. Like next fight, if they whoever they get 130 pounds, you know what I'm saying? I'll be ready. I'm not finna duck them. I'm not finna call names. But you know what I'm saying? Like the only thing I would say, whoever think they the best at 130 pounds, let's do it. That's all. That's it. So that said it all right there. You know what I'm saying? That's like, you know what I'm saying, sending a message to the promoter, to the manager, right, trainer. Whoever they think they're the best at 130, come on, let's do it. You know what I'm saying? Boxing is not like how it used to, man. They hand picking and this and that. They don't want to fight, blah blah blah. Man, come on, man. Let's, you know. Then you got some hungry people out there. Then you got people who want to fight, can't fight. Then you got people who are scared that's fighting all day. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I just leave it to my team hands. You know what I'm saying? So when they say, Edna, you fighting such and such? Okay, all right. Okay, time to put that work in. That's my job. You know what I'm saying? This is my job. This, you know, this how I look at it, Frank. This how I take care of my family. This how I put food on the table. Just like when you go on a job, hey, man, this how I feed my family. You want So you go on your job to do what you have to do. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I'm not going to collect a paycheck. I'm not going to lay down whatever. And this is my job. This is how I take care of my family. Put food on the table. And Jerry Belmontis is in my way. That's all I'm saying. He's in my way. October 18th. And, you know, I just have to scoot him out of the way and see who's next. You know what I'm saying?
There you go. There you go.
Yes,
guys, got any other questions for Edner? See?
No, I like his attitude, Frank.
Sure.
Oh, I'm sorry. I like your attitude, Edner.
Yeah, yes, sir. Hey, you know, just like when I just had talked to a fan not too long ago, and she said, man, like, you have to motivate yourself, you know what I'm saying? They ain't know nobody will put you in the zone, you know what I'm saying? You got to get in that zone. I said, yeah, you know what I'm saying? Hey, I'm putting myself in this, you know what I'm saying? I'm putting myself in the zone. I'm ready, you know what I'm saying? But nobody can't do it for you. You have to do it on your own, you know what I'm saying? You could train all day. The trainers could tell you this and that. If you're not in the zone, if you're not in it, man, it's like, man, you might as well just. But I'm in the zone. I'm ready. And, you know, hey, that's me, man. This is a job for me, man. This is my job. You know what I'm saying? I love it. I love this sport. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And I can understand your confidence. You fought the best in the world.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's why, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, right now I got 42 pro fights. Jerry Belmonte, the only person I'm hearing that he fought, like Omar. But, you know, like, you know, both of them were, fought like an amateur, like three or four times. So Jerry Belmonte knew Omar, so he know his style. You know what I'm saying? So it's, I'm saying I've fought some good fighters in my career. I had some little tough fights. I had some bump and bruises, up and downs in this career. So this, you know what I'm saying? This will make me tough. This will make me confident. This will make me strong. You know what I'm saying? I want to go in there and prove the world. You know what I'm saying? Because all these fights I had, all these years, I had ups and downs, and it keep me going. I haven't quit. I haven't stopped training. I haven't stopped believing in myself. And you know, that's why October 18th, Jerry Belmontis was like, man, he was saying, man, what in the world I put myself into? You know what I'm saying? Both fighters could talk all day at the press conference, and they could be going on the radio and talk all day. All the talking is done in the ring. All that is done in the ring, so you know what I'm saying? You can say, man, I'll knock you out, this and that, man. Just, man, that's the way. Let's get in the ring first. Let's get in the ring, then let them hands talk. That's, you know what I'm saying?
Excellent. Well, Edgar, we wish you the very best, and the guys will be up to see you in the ring. We'll have another fight under your belt, and we'll be waiting to see you when you come home. And like I said, I am trying at this point. Doesn't look like I'm going to be able to make it, but I'm going to try and get up there myself to see it.
Okay. Yes, sir.
So,
I mean, if you make it, Frank, you know what I'm saying? Go ahead. Hey, Frank, just remember that hopefully after this fight, you know, we want to have a little rest. We want to meet up where I could go
and
we could just have a little cookout now, Frank. You know what I'm saying? I know you know what I'm saying? We're talking about it now, Frank.
That's right. We've been talking about it too long, haven't we? Huh?
Yeah.
Time for you to get over here.
Yeah, yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
You know, I just want to spend time, you know, just relax. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
You know, that's
sure.
All.
Yeah, just so you'll know, my boys now are all three boys are 5-0. So my teams are doing very well.
All right.
Okay, that's what's up.
Well, guys,
you're a man on a mission.
That's for sure. You know, when Lou Holtz left Notre Dame, they were looking for a coach, and my son Bobby at the time had coached a semi-pro team with me. He applied for the job. He won fantasy football four or five times in a row, and he coached semi-pro with me. And he thought he was ready for the move up. And he did get a nice letter back from him with a thank you, but no thank you.
Wouldn't give the guy a chance. Well, they wouldn't give him a shot, huh? Yeah. Notre Dame, what's wrong with him?
They should have hired Bobby instead of Charlie Weiss. Which I'm sure Zito's happy that he's gone from his favorite team.
Oh my goodness, yes.
Well, guys, we're at the end of our hour. And Edner, I really appreciate your coming on and giving us the time. I know you, being a family man, you like to spend that time with your family, but we appreciate your time that you give us all the time. Thank you for coming on again this week. You always bring a lot to the program, and Z, you do a fabulous job each and every week, both of you. And I appreciate it.
All right, Frank. Zito, take care of yourself, guys.
Okay, take care.
All right, Dr. Chris, take it easy.
Okay, Z, you want to lead us out?
Let us out. Well, I want to thank you first, Butch, and all of my Fighting Words family. I want to thank Dr. Chris, as always, entertaining and very, very intellectual. I want to thank Edner, wish him very good luck in his upcoming fight. I'm pretty sure he knows luck doesn't have anything to do with it, but it was his confidence level, but we wish him luck. These shows are definitely in memory of Bob, and if anyone wants to hear any fighting words, please do call. Butch?
Ladies and gentlemen, these programs are brought to you each and every night of the week in grateful appreciation to the men and women of the United States Armed Forces, men and women of police and fire services. When you're out there and you see someone in uniform, a simple thank you means a whole lot to everybody. We also dedicate these programs to those who've lost their lives in the line of duty. Deputy Robert Anthony Carroll, Patrolman David Curtis, Patrolman Jeffrey Colcat, Sergeant Thomas Baker, Patrolman Jeffrey Yazowitz, Detective Randy Bell, Detective Ricky Childers, Patrolman David Crawford, San Diego Officer Mike Kendler, Lieutenant Mike Zerbin, Newcastle County Police, Patrolman Arnolfo Crispin, Lakeland PD, Deputy Barbara Pell, Broward County Sheriff's Office, Chief Al Hogle, Longboat Key Police Department, Chief Jimmy Ford, Wilmington Fire Department, Highway Patrolman Alonzo Moses, Philadelphia Highway Patrol, Highway Patrolman Brian Lazaro, Philadelphia Highway Patrol, Highway Patrolman Brian Murphy, Plymouth Township, PA, Highway Patrol, Lieutenant Bob Neary, Philadelphia Police Fire Department, Deputy Chief Mike Godwin, Philadelphia Fire Department, MIT Officer Sean Collier, Sergeant Mike Wilson, Charlotte County Sheriff's Office, Deputy Jonathan Scott Pine, Orange County Sheriff's Office, Officer Robert Germain, the Windermere, Florida Police Department, Florida Trooper Chelsea Richards, Florida Highway Patrol, Pennsylvania Trooper David Gerda, Pennsylvania State Police. My brothers and sisters, although you may be 10-7 at this point in time, at some time we'll be 10-10 at the table of the Lord. Until that time, may the roads rise up to meet you. May the winds be always at your back. May the rains fall softly on your face, and the sunshine softly on rains fall softly on your fields and the sunshine softly on your face until we meet again. May the good Lord keep you and your family always in the hollow of his hands. Good night.
Shem alek ma yilama, shem ma hezah yilama, son ashen evorat fed hakuig again ma a fiery blade engaged to lead. He'd break the bravest in the
All units be advised, 1999 is now 10-7. May God rest his soul. Hey, Bob, we miss you, we love you, and thank you for the win. Another great show.